Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. Listen carefully to God's word. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south, and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually, and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. At this time, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after. Is life a cruel joke played out on the stage for the benefit of some cynical God? The book of Ecclesiastes can be depressing. It reminds me of a poem that we studied in 12th grade English lit. The title of the poem was The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot. On the opposite page from the poem, there was a modernistic sculpture of a man. You could tell it was a man, although it was hardly recognizable. There was a bare figure, bronzed, but the unusual thing about the figure was that it was a man with no chest. The Hollow Men. Part of T.S. Eliot's poem commenting on the futility of life went this way. He said, those who have crossed with direct eyes, he's talking about the dead who no longer move but stare. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom, he is saying that not only is the other side death, but this is death. Remember us, if at all, not as lost, violent souls, but only as the hollow men. Then he concludes, between the conception and the creation, between the emotion and the response, falls the shadow, life is very long. That despair for all of life is reflected in the book of Ecclesiastes and approaches such a comment as Solomon makes when he says, the dead are better off than the living. As we begin our study this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to consider chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and simply go through the chapter. The book, it is one of the hardest books to organize and almost defies organization. And yet it is significant. We must be careful not to isolate a verse or a particular portion and take it out of context. Because if you read a certain verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, you will come away with the conviction that the writer of Ecclesiastes was just a pessimistic, skeptic, agnostic. And so you have to have the background in order to appreciate and understand, and that's what we're going to do as we have a look at Ecclesiastes and consider this morning these opening verses. There are at least two themes that are expressed in this particular passage. The expressed theme of the entire book, verse 2, and then the opening thesis, which begins in verse 3. Consider with me, firstly, the expressed theme. And that is simply, life is meaningless. Verse 2, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Some people believe that King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, that he wrote a large part of the book of Proverbs when he was a young and middle-aged man, but by the time he was old, he was simply a bitter old man. They may be right. I have known bitter old men. I have known bitter young men and women as well. Despair, pessimism over life leaves some people asking, why? Why this way? Why me? Why didn't it work out another way? Men and women nowadays are devoted in a great part to their careers. They work hard, and in order to have time finally to enjoy life, and so they neglect their children, they neglect their health, they neglect their church. The children once were interviewed of a certain number of professional and working people. The children were asked, tell us about your father. What does he do? What is he like? Do you know that not one child, not one, referred to his father's work? No wonder there is such pessimism with life today. Men and women who are devoted to what they think is to be the American dream, only to find it goes up in smoke. Because it doesn't matter. It's futile. Bernard Shaw said there are two great tragedies in life. One is not to get what you want, and the other one is to get what you want. Pessimism, futility, despair. Is life just a meaningless effort to have fun before you finally check out of the hotel? That is the theme and the question that the writer of Ecclesiastes asks. Ecclesiastes is a study in human nature. It is a contrast between two value systems. There is the value system of the world called secularism. And there is the value system of spirituality or Christianity. And these two are not the same. The world's value system is illustrated by a man in the 20th century. I think if we had to choose an example of 20th century man, it would be this individual we would have to choose, because his life represents the general secular philosophy of secular man. And I'm thinking of Ernest Hemingway. You appreciate his good writing and his writing style and his interesting books as I. But Ernest Hemingway was a man who was searching, who had, in order to write, to have new and exciting and unusual experiences in life. And so he would do something bizarre and unusual and life-threatening and write about it. And then the next thing had to give him a bigger charge as he went on to that, until finally all the charges were gone. And by the time he was 63, there was nothing left, and so he put a shotgun to his head. And that was it. That is the conclusion of the world's life view, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. Nothing really matters when you get down to it. You're going to die anyway. Other people are going to spend what you've worked hard to earn. You work hard all your life. Then when you finally get to the point, you can enjoy it. Either you're too sick or you die. And there's just futility. And there's no point in life. That is the express theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. Life is just futile. It is pessimistic. It is meaningless. There is no point to it. But there is also an opening thesis that goes along with this express theme, and that is in verse 3. Solomon, the writer, perhaps another writer, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? His opening thesis is life is simply monotonous. It is a bore to have to go through life, just as T.S. Eliot suggested in the conclusion to his poem, The Hollow Men. Life is so long. Maybe some of you feel or have felt that way. Working hard, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, is useless. What profit is it? He's appealing to the profit motive, the capitalist in particular. He said, what good is it for you to work all your life and work hard? Now, he is not talking about the fact that it is wrong to work. Rather, he is suggesting that work for work's sake is ludicrous. I know men who like to boast that they are workaholics, as if I'm supposed to congratulate them, as if everybody is supposed to say, boy, he works so hard, that's something. What a fool to make work the end in itself. It makes life monotonous. John Guest, a young rock singer, when I was coming along in seminary, wrote a song back in Great Britain. He is now an Episcopal minister, priest. John Guest wrote a song about a fat lady who lived in Liverpool, England. And the song went like this. The fat lady would get up in the morning and eat breakfast so she would have strength enough to go to work. And so she would go to work in order to pay for the apartment that she had and that she went home to at night, and in order to have a television that she could watch. And so this fat lady in Liverpool would do this every day of her life except on the weekends when she might go for a walk. And that was her life. It was simply a circle of getting up and going to work and going home and watching TV and getting up and going to work and going home and watching TV. And that was life for her. Just a monotonous cycle of nothing. Well, King Solomon, if he is writing this in his old age, he is giving advice to those of us who are not quite that old yet, because he's going to tell us what he tried to in order to squeeze some of the precious nectar of life and juices of life for himself. He says that life apart from God does not make sense. That's what he means to say and teach you and teach me. Going to work is monotonous, and just living life day by day is not what life is about. For as an end in itself, for there must be God. When I was a young man, 19 years of age, and I was not a Christian, I had been rebellious. I had been a hell raiser. I had moved from my hometown to another large city and working there, and finally came to Christ one night all alone. And my thinking was this. I could not make sense of life. It did not make sense. But if Jesus Christ really was real, then life would come together. And so I invited him into my life. I did not know any more than I knew 1 minute before. But life began to gel. And it made sense, and it was full of meaning and purpose. Life apart from God has no meaning. That's what Ecclesiastes says. He indicates that you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Ernest Hemingway was right. If you don't have God, you only go around once in life. Because after that, the judgment. Life to a man without God is like going to a picnic But at this picnic, there is a dark, ominous cloud hanging over everyone. Everybody tries to have fun and enjoy the picnic, enjoy life. But everybody knows it's going to start raining and the storm will come at any moment. Life without God. A picnic that will soon be over. Work is useless. That's what Solomon seems to indicate. Work is useless without some meaning and purpose. You go back to my picnic, working hard all your life is like saying, I'm coming to the picnic, but I'm going to be late. Then when you finally can go to the picnic, you arrive and everybody's gone and the ants have eaten your sandwich. It's all over. What you expected didn't happen. Solomon says nothing in life is permanent. It's all boring and toilsome, monotonous in a world-centered view. That's the logical conclusion. Look in verses 5, 6, and 7. He uses illustrations from nature and he says the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose and the wind goes toward the south and turns toward the north and the wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea and yet the sea's not full and then the rivers go back and return to the place where they started. There is just no point. It doesn't make sense. And then he says in verse 4, one generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth is still there. Then he says in verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. He can't fully even understand what's going on in life. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. You can never say that after hearing, your ear is finally full and you don't have to hear anymore. It's always going on. It's monotonous, it's tedious, it's impermanent, and it seems to just go on and on and on, and it's the same thing over and over again. That is the way of all of life. It's just the same thing. Verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. That is a rather dismal picture of life that is painted by the writer of Ecclesiastes. The contrast and the concluding point is this. The obvious truth, the obvious lesson for you and me is that life in Jesus Christ is the only real thing. I like C.S. Lewis's words that this life is actually the Shadowlands and that life to come is the real land. Do you remember an advertisement by Coca-Cola several years ago, perhaps many years ago? Coke, the real thing. I couldn't help but think of the analogy of Jesus Christ and how you and I can substitute for our happiness and for our way of life and for our satisfaction and for our families and even for our religion so many subtleties and so many other things. Whether possessions or people or jobs or family. But only one thing is the real thing. And that is Jesus Christ. Do you have the real life? Or are you simply living a facsimile to the real thing? The world and work cannot give you ultimate meaning. Some believe Ecclesiastes was written at a time when God was no longer speaking to men by special revelation. And therefore, the men of Israel and the women of that day said, well, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry. God no longer speaks. Injustice is done. Crime is everywhere. God doesn't seem to break into our society to do anything, so let's eat, drink, and be merry, because that's all that we'll get in life. We might as well live Hemingway's experience. Now, it must be admitted that life is a mess. That life just seems like a whole bundle, a jumble of events all together and not making sense at all. I mean, good people die young. Bad things happen to good people. Seemingly the good nations, the best tennis players, those who really ought to win and prosper and good things happen to them do not happen. One country is filled with drugs and crime and killing daily, even while there are good people living there. Another country is oppressed by communism and the church has had to go underground. Why? Why do these things go on? It's a mess, seemingly. What Ecclesiastes counsels, with the backdrop of that idea that God seemed to no longer speak to the society, that everything seemed to be just worldly and secular, and you have to get out of life what you can. Ecclesiastes says two things to you and me. The first thing is, Christian, if you have the real life in Jesus Christ, don't despair. Don't become cynical. Don't become pessimistic. Don't become discouraged. And secondly, don't become reckless. Just because when you sin a little bit, God didn't slap your wrist and nothing bad happened, don't think that God won't. There is an old proverb that the mills of the gods grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine, so that nothing is lost in time. Maybe not the first day, maybe not the second day, but you better duck the third day. Don't become hazardous in your moral obedience to Jesus Christ. God is still on the throne. Don't despair as well. Life apart from Him, apart from Jesus Christ, Ecclesiastes would tell us, is meaningless and is hollow. What about you this morning? Is life to you hollow and meaningless? Or do you have the real thing? I don't mean biological breath, but I mean spiritual reality in your heart. Are you living? Or are you just
alive. Jesus Christ is the real thing. Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes. We thank you for its message. We confess that as it's such a difficult book sometimes to understand, that you would guide us and direct us and train us in our thinking, that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and preacher. We pray that we would indeed apply this message to our hearts today, that life apart from Christ is indeed meaningless, monotonous. But in Him, we have the real thing. May each person here possess the reality of Christ in their hearts, that they would have the real thing indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all that love our Lord Jesus with sincerity. Amen.